Well, church, I want to say thank you for letting me into your living room, into your apartments, and your condos, and your homes, your basement, wherever it is that you're connecting with us. We're so glad that you're here. Some people connect online on a regular basis, and we now as a church are all online, and so we're glad that you're learning what the online campus is like, and you're learning how we can connect and utilize and leverage technology in such a powerful way. It's absolutely amazing. And so whether you're in the Dayton area or around the country somewhere, I welcome you, or even if you're around the world, as we have some of you that are connecting with us in a variety of places around the world. The interesting thing is that the conversation that we're having in our lives right this minute is impacting the whole world. This is not an issue that we're dealing with in Dayton. This is not an issue that we're dealing with in Ohio or the United States. But this is an issue that really is happening all over the world. And so the conversation is a conversation that every one of us can have together, which is just amazing when you think about it. That we can take our Bibles, and we're going to look again in letters in my Bible and your Bible that are in red, meaning that it is the words of Jesus, the very words of Jesus, that can be an encouragement to us, whether we're in Dayton or anywhere else in the world, and we're so glad that you're joining us today. Many of you are part of Fairhaven Church, and whether you're from any one of the campuses, I want to welcome you and say it's so great to see you. Even though I get to see you by way of technology, it's so great to see you. You need to know that myself, along with our staff and others, elders from all of our campuses, have been praying for you. We don't even know many of your names, but the reality is we've been praying for you and your families, that God would protect you. As a matter of fact, at the end of this message here today, we're going to have an opportunity to pray, and I hope to reach right into your living room or wherever you're seated and pray with you about a few things that are really significant and important. For those of you that are normally not part of Fairhaven and somehow somebody gave you a link or somebody invited you, we're honored. We're so honored that you would join us, because the conversation that we're having right now is so relevant to what we're dealing with today. We're talking about faith over fear. We started that last week, actually, and decided to take 1 week of a break from our series as we were in a Lenten series, thinking about how we can give things up and so forth. And the series was called I Quit, and all joking aside, we're going to quit the I Quit series, because we really need to address the fear that is the pandemic that we're dealing with. The truth is, the virus is a pandemic, but the fear that all of us are experiencing as a result of this virus is also a pandemic. And so how does our faith overcome fear? How do we understand our faith in a way that faith is over the fear? How do we live our lives so that our faith is in front of the fear? Because I don't think we'll ever be able to completely elude and get rid of all the fear in our lives. But what we can do is we can minimize it, and we can place it way behind us, because our faith is what drives us every single day. Suffering is not a new thing. I don't think I have to remind you. Last week, actually, we looked through some history to realize that suffering is not new. Life happens. Life happens to all of us. Life is happening to all of us right now. Every single one of us are dealing with life in a variety of different ways. Whether you feel like you're stuck and isolated at home, or whether you're in a hospital room, or wherever you might feel very isolated and alone. And I'm here to tell you today, on behalf of all of us as a church, Nathan said it well, the church is not closed because our doors are closed. We are open, and we are wanting to serve each other, even though our campuses physically might be closed. The reality is that the church is open, the church is alive, and we hope that you will experience comfort today as we gather together. See, crisis, when we experience crisis, it brings to the surface who you really are. This crisis is causing me, in the quietness of my own heart, to determine who I am and who you are. As you're sitting there, this crisis is going to bring to the surface really who you are, who your faith is, and what your hope is, and where your hope is found, and whether you in fact have faith or you simply know about faith. I want to make sure today that if you're connecting with us, that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Because at the end of the day, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, this is just good suggestions. And in fact, it's going to be really hard for you because you're going to have to work really hard to understand everything that Jesus is saying here. But if you're a follower of Jesus, Jesus is already doing the work in our lives for us. That's why he's Emmanuel, God with us. And so if you're connecting and you're not sure, you can just simply through the chat, if you want, you can ask somebody to pray with you, or you can go to a chat room and we'd be happy to pray with you and help you to invite Jesus into your life, because the conversation will make a whole lot more sense if you understand faith. See, faith is a verb, it's not a noun. Faith is something that we live out in our lives. It's not something that we just simply have and hold in our hands. And crisis brings that to the surface. And so really, this is week two of what we're calling a mini-series of Faith Over Fear. And we're looking at what Jesus has to say to us. Last week, we looked at the fact that Jesus says peace is available. In fact, he uses this word, and you may want to jot this down if you're a note taker or you're just simply trying to remember things week by week. Last week, the real big idea was Jesus is saying, do not be afraid, because peace is available for you. Do not be afraid. We can have faith over fear through peace. He offers it to us. The Bible says that peace can rule our hearts. In other words, peace can work in our lives, and we can experience it day by day as God is working in our lives. And so peace is available, and trusting God because of his faithfulness is something that we can do because Jesus simply says, as we looked last week in his word in John chapter 14, he says, do not be afraid. Jesus is saying that when the concerns of life press in on you, what you and I need to do is press into him. That when we experience crisis, it causes us to think through where are we going to put our energies and our emotions, and where are we going to put our mind and our hearts and our relationships, and in what place does our finances and all of our possessions and our kids and grandkids, where do all those take place in our lives, and where can we put them in a way where we can really understand? See, Jesus is saying that when concerns press in on us, here's what we do. We lean or press into him, because he has faith that he wants us to exercise so that we can experience peace. Do not be afraid. Well, today what we want to do is we want to take the conversation just a little bit farther. What I want to do is to look at some other words that Jesus gives us that adds to the idea of peace. We want to take this conversation a little bit farther and think through the thought of faith over fear. And so let me start this way. See, peace happens when we conquer anxiety. So even though Jesus is offering peace and he says, do not be afraid, we're going to add one more statement to that and get ready. I'll tell you when it's coming. But see, peace needs to be understood in a way that it happens when we conquer anxiety. And here's the reason why anxiety is so powerful, because anxiety causes us to doubt the power of God to provide. That when you experience anxiety in your life and concerns come into your life and begin to take over your life, what happens is you begin to doubt the power of God to provide for you. That's exactly why in Philippians chapter 4, Paul says this, do not be anxious about anything. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible, my favorite book actually in all the Bible, Philippians. Paul says, do not be anxious, and he tells us why beforehand. He says, because the Lord is at hand. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you're at hand, you're probably closer than you should be based on the CDC. It means you're right here, close enough that I can extend my hand to you, and I can shake your hand, I can high-five you, I can do all kinds of things. Paul is saying that you don't need to be anxious because God is at hand. He is near. God is near. He is with us. And that's why it's so important. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, Solomon says this, anxiety in a man's heart or a woman's heart or in anybody's heart weighs him or her down. That when you and I experience anxiety, it weighs us down. But then the proverb says this, but a good word makes him glad. Church, I've got a good word for you today. that Jesus says to us, not only do not be afraid, Jesus says, do not be anxious. And we're going to talk about that today, and we're going to look in just a minute in the New Testament, so I hope you grab your Bibles. If you don't have them with you, run, go get them, and then come back, or you can power up your devices, or you can just right there on the right in the chat section of the online, you can see a Bible up top, and you can connect there. I'm actually going to read it for you. I'm going to violate the principle at Fairhaven that I've told many of you, if you remember, that I don't like to put scripture on the screens because I want you to hold it in your laps. But given the fact that we're doing technology, I'm going to put that on screen for you in just a little bit in what Jesus says. But what I want to do to you today, or for you today rather, is to give you a good word, because I want a good word, and I've been studying this, and it is in fact a good word. Anxiety is something that we're dealing with. Because of this pandemic, many, many people are dealing with fear. You don't have to watch the news for very long to see that there is a pandemic of fear along with the pandemic of the virus, as I mentioned. Did you know that anxiety in our culture today is 3 times higher than the last 3 generations combined? Anxiety is something that is very clearly part of our life in culture today. And so the words of Jesus are relevant, even though they were spoken 2,000 years ago. They're relevant for you and I today, because anxiety is such a big deal in our lives. And so let's take a look. If you have your Bible, why don't you turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. These are verses that I know you've heard before. You probably could recite them, but I want to look at them today, and I want you to see that it is amazing what Jesus is saying, because he's actually talking to people who were in crisis, and I'll explain that. Matthew chapter 6, drop down to verse 25. We'll pick it up there, but we're going to start by giving you the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. I've already given it to you. Jesus is saying, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. If you're going to have faith over fear, you and I have to conquer our anxiety, the anxiety that comes to us so easily. Because worry and anxiety can be a way of life for us if we're not careful. Now, when I talk about anxiety, I want to be clear here for just a minute. And I want to acknowledge that there are some of us that deal with anxiety in a clinical way. And you need help, and we want to talk with you. Perhaps pastoral counseling is something that you need, or maybe some help from somebody dealing with anxiety in your life. I recognize that anxiety can be something that is clinical and can be something that's diagnosed in a person's life. The kind of anxiety, however, that Jesus is talking about is very different than that. It's anxiety that all of us face. The Greek word, if you like to write in your Bibles, the Greek word for anxious is distracted. So when Jesus says, do not be anxious, what he's saying is do not be distracted. Don't allow the things of our lives to be distracted away from him. Let's not allow the crisis to distract us from our faith. The word anxious means distracted. It has to deal with uncertainty. It's a word that refers to uncertainty, to be distracted by the future, as many of us are worrying about the future, to be distracted by the chaos that's around us, to be distracted by the health of family members. I know family and friends that are struggling with this illness. I got a call from a friend of mine last night, actually, and he said his brother-in-law is sick and in trouble. We have staff who know of people that are struggling. And so the uncertainty of that, the uncertainty of finances, the uncertainty of food, the uncertainty of how many people should you gather with in order for you to be safe. And Jesus has some words for us. Let's take a look. And we're not even going to get past the first word to get started here. It's a really important word. Chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 25, here's the first word. Will you look at it with me? It says this, therefore. Now, whenever you read the Bible, and you've heard this from me before, whenever there's a therefore, it's there because of something that Jesus said before. And if you read through chapter 6, it's very clear that Jesus is having a dialogue, and the dialogue doesn't include numbers and chapters. That just makes it easy for us to look at the same thing. If I say to you, turn to chapter 6, verse 25, but Jesus says, therefore, don't miss this. In other words, Jesus is saying there are things that can circumvent anxiety. There are things that you could help yourself with that might avoid or skirt or elude anxiety. Therefore, Jesus saying at the top of chapter 6, if you were to serve someone else, what that does is it takes the focus off of you and onto somebody else, and what that does is it will elude anxiety. You might want to try that. You might want to call somebody. You might want to help a neighbor. You might want to be the neighborhood watch and helping the families in your neighborhood so that we can be the church in every street of Dayton, Ohio, and even beyond. And so Jesus says, therefore, meaning that if you serve other people, it takes the focus off of you and anxiety will be eluded. And then he talks about prayer. Prayer is so important. That we get to talk to the creator of the universe, that it's through prayer that we can abide with him and that we can talk to him and actually offer to him the things that we're distracted by. Church, we're going to do that at the end. I'm going to ask you to offer to God the very thing that you are most distracted by today. Because Jesus says, do not be anxious. Do not be distracted. And then the third thing he says is, let the world see who you are. Let the world experience Jesus in you, whether it's through a smile or through an email or through a card that you write or whatever it might be to connect with people around you. And then lastly, he says right before the paragraph on anxiety, he says, let's remind ourselves that everything that we have belongs to God. Money cannot and should not be our God. That's why here at Fairhaven Church, we want to give you an opportunity to continue to give and to support all the things that we're doing as we want to help senior adults, as we want to continue to serve kids, as we want to try to help kids making sure that they get their meals since schools have stopped meeting. And there's lots and lots of things that Nathan mentioned about our website that I hope you'll go and take a look. And Jesus is saying that if you want to start, you might want to start circumventing anxiety in your life by serving somebody, by taking time to pray, by making sure that the world sees your faith, and then remind yourself that money is not your God. But then Jesus goes on. So let's take a look. Let me read the whole thing for you, starting in verse 25, and then let's have a dialogue about how you and I can have faith over fear against anxiety. He says this, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body. What you will put on, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they are? And the answer is yes. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? In other words, what does anxiety do for you except distract you and destroy you, is what Jesus is saying there. It doesn't add anything to your life. In fact, it poisons you. Verse 27, and which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the fields, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Simply put, bottom line, Jesus is saying, do not be anxious. So we're adding to this dialogue, do not be afraid, but do not be anxious. That's how you and I can have faith over fear. The interesting thing is that Jesus is actually speaking in crisis. I don't know if you knew this or not, but when Jesus is speaking in the first century, the Jews that he was speaking to were in crisis. They had little food. So there was not much food that was going on. There was lots of disease and death that was taking place in the first century because of the control of the Roman Empire, because there were, the soil in Israel at that time was not doing very well. There was not a lot of rain, and so there was a need for rain, and there was a lack of clothing actually in the first century. You can look at historians, and there was a lack of clothing, if you will. Things were shut down for the Jews. They didn't have clothes. There was very little food. There was a lack of rain, and the soil in Palestine was not doing well in terms of people growing and crops bursting. It's no wonder that in Matthew 13 and in Mark chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 8 that Jesus uses the parable about the soil. And he says that when you throw seeds on the path, that birds will pick it up, or when you throw it on a rocky soil, it won't grow, or if you throw it in a bunch of bushes that have thorns, it's going to get choked out. It's no wonder that Jesus uses that parable, because actually in the first century, there was crisis going on. The Romans were taxing people to the point where it was crippling to their finances, and many of the people that Jesus was talking to were struggling and filled with anxiety because of their finances. Rent and things were extremely high. Romans took everything from the Jews, and therefore Jesus is actually speaking into crisis, and he's speaking to us today in the middle of crisis, 2,000 years later, and the conversation is still relevant. I'm just absolutely amazed when I read God's word that it's just so relevant to you and I today. Crisis is when the rug is just pulled from out from underneath you, and you and I have to figure out what to do with that. And most often, the first thing that comes to our mind is, where is God in this? Where is God? And yet what you read in Matthew chapter 6 and what I read in red, Jesus says this, simply, do not be anxious. You probably didn't know this. In fact, I didn't know this until I was studying it, that Jesus is using in Matthew chapter 6 a typical argument or a style of argument that was very popular in the first century. The type of argument was called qual homer. And qual homer is an argument style that everybody that was listening to Jesus would have known it immediately. As soon as Jesus is talking about anxiety and he refers to the birds and the flowers, they knew immediately the style of conversation that Jesus was talking about. Now, to put it in our context, we know it as an if-then conversation. If this happens, then this will happen. It's called qual homer. That's the style that Jesus is using here. Let's take a look and see. If God cares about the birds, and he says he does, if God cares about the birds, which I find very interesting that when you look through Scripture, that God actually used birds to do some pretty incredible things. In 1 Kings 17, a bird, a raven, brought Elijah bread. That's incredible. If God cares about the birds, and if God cares about the flowers, and he dresses them, and he clothes them, you know, I'm not one that actually loves to go out and look at plants. My wife is. And we were overseas more than 6 months ago, and we went to an indoor planetarium, and I was blown away by the flowers and the differences of the flowers and the beauty of them. And I don't typically even like to look at flowers. My wife loves it, and so I was following her, and I was blown away. And so this conversation of if then, if God cares about the birds and if he cares about the flowers, catch this, then Jesus calls for faith. Then your Father knows. Then God cares for you because you are valuable. You're more valuable than a bird or a flower. Then he will provide for you. That as we go through crisis, God will provide for you. Then seeking God, don't miss this, seeking God will set you free. It'll set you free. That's what Jesus is saying here. And then he says in verse 33, O you of little faith. I don't think Jesus is being sarcastic here. I don't think that Jesus is trying to pile on guilt. I think Jesus is simply saying this. It is not God's purpose or plan for you to experience anxiety. It's not his plan. It's not his purpose for you to feel some sense of anxiety in your life. That's why he says, do not be anxious. Can I paraphrase that for you today? Let me just paraphrase it, and I hope this phrase just is cemented in our minds, and I don't know, you should write it down, put it somewhere, make t-shirts, just do something. Let me paraphrase what Jesus is saying. Faith over fear. Have faith over fear. Now, when he says have faith over fear or do not be anxious, exercise faith, he's not saying you need to work harder. Jesus is not saying you need to drum up some faith, that you need to somehow work harder in your spiritual life. That's not what he's saying at all. He's saying that what you need to do is allow crisis to bring you to a place where you trust him more, where you'll obey him more, where you receive his grace and his blessings more in your life. That's what he means when he says this. In fact, Jesus says that that's what the unbelievers do. Look at verse 32. He says that's what the Gentiles or the unbelievers do. See, the unbelievers panic. The unbelievers have no peace. The unbelievers get anxious. The unbelievers are completely distracted, and there's internal chaos that's matched by external chaos. That's what the unbelievers do, Jesus says. But if you're a person of faith and you have a relationship with Jesus, peace is not only available for you, but you can overcome anxiety. That's awesome. Seeking God, in verse 33, Jesus says, is the path to freedom. That when you and I seek God, what I want to do with you is just end with four, I think, really important thoughts. Because we need to focus our minds on our faith, that our faith might give us peace, and peace would overcome anxiety as we experience. Let me give you four thoughts that you can think through. It's literally on the web. If you want to download them and write there, you can remind yourself. Somebody in the chat host could actually rewrite them if you want to. They'll show up probably as a lower third as well. Let's talk about some focused faith that comes right out of what we have right here in Jesus' word. Here's the first thing. God shows up in trouble in ways that causes us to see him like we've never seen him before. That when you and I experience crisis and trouble, God seems to show up in trouble and causes us to see him in ways that we may never see him in another way. In other words, crisis is used by God in order to get our attention. Because when you give God your attention in crisis, you may see him like you never have seen him before. Now, I think you know, I don't need to tell you, that when I say see him, I'm not talking about your eyes. As a matter of fact, God tells us in this passage that you actually can use your eyes to see something that will actually point to God. I mean, it's amazing. Who knew that watching birds could lower anxiety? Who knew that studying a flower can bring calm to your soul? Who knew that? That's exactly what Jesus is saying here. That in crisis, you have the opportunity to see God like you've never seen him before. We'd love to know your stories. Tell us about them. Email them to us so that we can share them with people, because you're going to see God in ways you've never seen him before, which lowers and deletes and conquers your anxiety. Secondly, let me say this. When God is your only hope, you have a tendency to move towards him. As Jesus is speaking to this crowd, Sermon on the Mount, there's a bunch of people that were there just like today. There's a bunch of people that are connecting all over the place as we're using technology. And when Jesus is your only hope, you have a tendency to move towards him. Pandemics remind us of that, that when God is your only hope, you have an inclination, you're inclined to move toward him. And you're inclined to remember songs and lyrics and scripture verses that God gives to us. Let me try one on you. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning on the everlasting arms. See, church, when we experience crisis like this, and God is your only hope, you move towards him. And crisis reminds us that God is our only hope. He's our only hope in this situation. Number three, I would say this, that crisis is the greatest reminder that God has made promises that he intends to keep. That when you deal with crisis and you can remove all the distraction, the anxiety, and you allow your faith to be focused on God, what happens is you're reminded that God keeps his promises and that he makes promises that he intends to keep all throughout history. I could take you to story after story after story all through the Bible about how God has made promises that he intends to keep. As a matter of fact, he in fact does keep them. God knows what you need. It's amazing to me that many of us in today's world, we think that if you need anything, you know where you go? You go to Amazon, because Amazon has everything. Well, they have a lot, but let me tell you, they don't have everything because they don't have toilet paper right now. There's other items that they don't have right now. We think of Amazon as having everything. They don't. They have a lot. But God is saying to us in crisis to be remembering that God has made promises and he intends to keep them for you and for me. See, if he cares about the birds and the flowers, then he will provide for us. And lastly and fourthly, anxiety evaporates when we seek God rather than seeking something from God. You know, it's very natural for us, for me, for you, to seek something from God rather than seeking God himself. And if you want to have faith over fear, I need to tell you, as I'm telling myself, that what we need to do is to seek God and to allow God to work inside of us that we might experience peace that conquers anxiety. Church, I want to pray with you right now, and I just want you to just perhaps fill in this blank. I want you to just fill in this blank. Just pray it out loud. I don't know if you're alone, or I don't know if you've got your kids with you, or if you're a couple, or if you're just a single, and maybe you got a few friends with you, even though you're trying to keep your circle small. I don't know how many are with you, and it's okay. I mean, certainly you're probably with people that you love and that love you. Just out loud. Would you just do this out loud, just as an exercise together, that we would be able to do this together? And just fill in the blank. Father, I bring to you blank. What is it that you want to bring to him today? What is it in prayer that you want to offer as a distraction that is robbing you of peace? Do not be anxious. Would you just fill in that blank out loud? I'm just going to give you an opportunity to do that right now, wherever you're at. Father, I bring to you blank. Would you just pray that prayer and offer something to God for just a minute? If you want, we have prayer hosts online. They'd be happy to pray with you. They'd be happy to pray over you because you might be filled with anxiety today. I don't know. I think it might help us as a church to be united in a prayer. Can you imagine God hearing thousands of us at the same time praying the exact same thing? I'm going to put a scripture, or rather a prayer on the screen. And I'd like you to pray this out loud. And we'll just start with Dear Jesus, and then let's pray this prayer aloud, all of us together, that together we could unite ourselves around the realities of who Jesus is. Will you pray this out loud wherever you're at? Here we go. Let's do it together. Dear Jesus, it's beyond my control. I feel helpless in this situation. But you have the power to change and provide. You love me perfectly, and I'm trusting you to handle what concerns me in the way that you see fit. I know whatever you've planned for me is for my good. I trust you as you express your love, wisdom, and power. And the church said, Amen. Church, do not be anxious. Let's have faith over fear. I want to give you a screen that you might want to take your phone out right now, and you can just take a screenshot of it. Some prayer requests I'd like you to pray for in your own homes. You can certainly download it. You can see it online. Just take a picture of it. Let me just show you the screen. There's people that we need to pray for. There's the medical folks that are helping, the responders, doctors, nurses, people in the hospitals that are working, our medical personnel. Would you pray for them, the responders, police, sheriff department, fire department? Would you pray for our schools, whether it's elementary schools or high schools or colleges? They're trying to figure out what this online learning is like. Would you pray for moms and dads and kids? Would you pray for businessmen and women who are making very hard decisions in their businesses today, this week, next week? Would you pray for city leaders, state leaders, national leaders? Would you pray for those food providers, those that are in the travel industry, those that are in tourism? Would you pray for financial planners who are working with people and giving them advice and comfort? Would you pray for our senior adults who are at high risk? Would you pray for high-risk people beyond senior adults? Those that are pregnant. My daughter-in-law is pregnant. Others that might be pregnant or have low immune system or pre-existing conditions. Church, one of the ways that we can rise up is that we can pray over these. And I hope you'll take this list, and even after our service here, that you'll take some time to just wherever you're at, to pray and pray over these. Would you let me pray for you and over you, church, as we ask God to come into our lives and to help us remove and conquer anxiety? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we can be together in many, many, many places today. I thank you for the very words of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that these words become so relevant to us today. Lord, thank you that you've said to us clearly, do not be afraid and do not be anxious. And I pray, Father, that that would be true of all of us. As we lean in, as we press into you, I pray, God, that we would see you in ways we've never seen you before. I pray for every person, young and old, as we navigate this crisis, as we navigate relationships, as we navigate isolation, as we navigate the fear of our health, the truth of the matter is, Father, we know that as followers of Jesus, there is no worst case scenario. The fact of the matter is, because we belong to you, there is no worst case scenario. Father, this is as bad as it gets for us as a church. So I pray that you would give us comfort and that you would give us courage, and by the Holy Spirit, you'd give us power over anxiety. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church.